But the good news is, Holly has the weather.
The weather today, highs of 11 degrees centigrade, lows of 4 degrees centigrade, and dry, mostly cloudy throughout the day.
The Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Editions with Alex Levchuk and the Midweek Drivettes on Siren 107.3 FM. A 21st century radio programme with 23rd century philosophies.
When all my dreams are scattered to the wind, I'll begin again, and you're the reason why. When all my friends no longer know my name and say I'm not the same, I know that I'll get by. As long as there's you at the end of every road to give me all your love and a gentle hand to hold. As long as there's you at the end of every night to tell me it's alright and shield me from the cold. I'll be strong and I'll be tall. There is nothing I can do. I may stumble, I may fall. I won't care if there is you at the end of it all. I won't care if there is you at the end of it all. You are the sun that shines upon my face and smiles upon my life in everything I do. So let the rain come pouring to the ground, 'cause nothing gets me down as long as there is you. As long as there's you at the end of every road to give me all your love and a gentle hand to hold. You at the end of every night to tell me it's alright and shield me from the cold. I'll be strong and I'll be tall. There is nothing I can do. I may stumble, I may fall. I won't care if there is you at the end of it all. I won't care if there is you. There is nothing I can do. I may stumble, I may fall. I won't care if there is you at the end of it all. At the end of it all. At the end of it all.
We can't reveal too much about how the Midweek Drivettes are going to cope with the 48-hour film challenge, because frankly it's never been tried before as far as I'm aware, but it's going to be exciting, it's going to be dynamic, it's going to address things. We'll find out from Louis Savvy, the creator of Sci-Fi London, home of fantastic film. Oh yeah, Sci-Fi London, home of fantastic film, and the 48-hour film challenge. I mean, when looks at some of the 2015 routines, names, team Starcrust, three-legged dog, not sufficiently human, beloved brethren, moratorium, Broco, fancy jam pictures. I think the Midweek Drivettes is okay. We're happy with the name. That should be all right. Well, that's just the start of the whole thing. So. We might try and register whilst we're doing this. And, of course, you can join us as well by simply going to the scifilondon.com weather site, website, web address. Whatever the weather, it's always good. Louis, currently just sorting out the school run, will probably be just sitting down for his first cup of coffee in the morning in his official external office, otherwise known as a cafe, somewhere in East London. He should be up after the Stranglers.
Make sure that you're receiving
the signals they send. Cause brother, you've only got two hands to lend. Maybe there's someone who makes
Hi, I'm Louis Savvy, director of Sci-Fi London Film Festival. You're listening to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Siren FM.
He does that so well. It's just so impressive, Louis, the way you actually hit the mark every time we ask you to do that album.
And it sounds the same every time I do it.
I know.
I don't quite know how I'm able to.
It's relentless. You're like a machine, Louis, an awesome machine. It's just truly. Good morning once again, sir. How are you?
Morning all. Morning all. Very well indeed.
Well, good news.
Sorry, I'm stuck out again near traffic. So a little bit flat.
Well, you know, William so well occasionally sort of communicates with us whilst he's cycling in London. I think it's insane, but you know, that's by for the by. Okay, Hannah Brown has literally just been typing in at the moment to register for the account, which has taken us through the whole thing. In fact, it now says, Hannah, further instructions have been sent to your email address.
Hey.
I will check my email.
We also have Holly McGrattan, and indeed it's Holly who came up with a possible solution to the fact that most of our Midweek Drivettes will actually be on their Easter vacation, or as they say in America, spring break, when this takes place.
Yeah. All the different countries of the UK, I believe.
Quite literally. It'll be in Scotland, in Wales, in Harwich, and all sorts of those. But she has got a thought in terms of how she's going to bring them together for this 48-hour challenge.
Fantastic. Can't wait to see the film.
Oh, gosh.
Well, I mean, so, Holly, would you like to sort of question Louis? Because obviously the things haven't been released, so we can't know what the story and the context will actually be. But, it's your team, Hannah. Holly, you're obviously sort of a part of the whole thing. We've got other sort of folk who'll be around. But now's the chance to actually find out those questions, those sticky little questions that only Louis Savvy can actually answer.
Okay. Well, in terms of the past requirements... Is there a lot of digital posts that they like to see, if you know what I mean? Like, you know, an alien or two, or can we kind of imply that?
Well, you can imply. For me, good science fiction has always been about the story.
Yeah.
And obviously what happens to the characters, or the world that we're set in. So the special effects don't need to be... just there for the sake of it. We're not looking for eye candy.
Okay.
And in fact, we've had films in the past that have looked absolutely amazing. You know, they've spent a whole weekend doing amazing special effects, but there's been no story. So, they haven't been shortlisted just because we don't know what it's about. You know, looks great, but it doesn't mean anything. So, and in saying that as well about effects, I mean, if you just, I say this a lot to people. If you're thinking about science fiction, you've got Avatar, Star Wars, Transformers at one end. But if you think about something like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, that's a hard science fiction film. You know, it's about a machine that allows you to edit memories. And actually, if you watch that, the special effect in it, it's a colander, a few wires, and a box with some dials on it. There's no special effect budget there at all. But the story is really strong and, what happens to the people in it, you care about. So that's the biggest tip, really.
Okay, yeah, that's helpful. Thank you.
One of the strategies that is kind of being employed, without giving too much, obviously, about the whole thing, because we're going to sort of plan this in, I believe, is going to be the equivalent to using the World Wide Web to connect and correlate.
Yeah,
in the same way as movies shot in Los Angeles are edited in London and vice versa, in all sorts
exactly.
of ways.
Exactly.
So, my brain almost exploded last night when they came up with the possible solution, but I think it might just do the bit. Who knows, Louis? I've got faith in the team. Is there a courier that's actually just arrived to drop off some films there? Or is it just somebody who's got flatulence in the cafe? I don't know.
So let's mention, let's mention some of the fabulous sort of people who are actually behind Sci-Fi London, and why wouldn't you be? We've got SFX magazine as mentioned, clearly hats off to Richard Edwards and the whole team for that boy. Total Film, of course, part of the Future publishing brand, excellent stuff. A New Scientist, always good to support from that. We've got Sci-Fi.
Yeah.
So the Sci-Fi channel, of course, well worth scenarioing from that point of view. Adobe, Urban Fantasist, Attic Secure Self Storage. That's an interesting left field scenario.
Indeed. And in fact, actually, they did a really funny thing last year on April Fool's Day. They put a press release out saying that they'd started cryogenic freezing in their storage area and put out a lovely image of all of these sort of storage banks with bodies in, all lined up against the wall. I thought that was quite a fun little thing for them to do.
And probably getting dangerously truth to life, basically.
Yes.
You could have a picture house, of course. Presumably that's Picture House Stratford.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, you see, that's marvellous. And, of course, Black Magic Design. Don't worry, they don't sacrifice goats, at least not that I'm aware of.
No, and if they do, they film it in high definition.
Exactly, that's very important. So does that hopefully ensure that all of the wonderful partners who support Sci-Fi London have had their branding mentioned? Because I just always like to appeal.
Very good shout-out. Thank you very much indeed.
It's always critical. Hannah, questions and thoughts for yourself, either about the 48-Hour Film Challenge, or indeed Sci-Fido, which indeed Emma Tenson and myself have attended in the past, though tragically we've never quite managed to get any canines as a team to central London to take part in the Sci-Fido challenge.
So, obviously we've heard about the 48-hour challenge, but what is the Sci-Fido?
Sci-Fido is, we're a film festival at our heart, and actually we get asked quite often, do people come dressed up, in costumes as Stormtroopers and Batman and whatever, and we don't discourage people, but we don't necessarily encourage people to do that. Those, the Comic Cons, and there are a lot of them all over the country, they're the places where people really get to do that stuff and have a lot of fun. But we thought what would be nice is to let people's pets have a go, so we do cosplay for dogs, and it's that simple. You just bring your pet dressed as your favourite TV, film, comic book, or literature sci-fi character. So over the years we've had, Superman and Leia. There was a woman turned up a couple of years ago dressed as Princess Leia, and she had two little dogs with her. One was sprayed green, and the other one had a little Darth Vader mask on. Last year our winner was a dog dressed as Tank Girl. So, we're right across the board, and it's jolly good fun. Really good fun.
It's pretty much cutting edge in every sense of the word, really. And
is it grooming edge? Grooming edge.
Grooming edge. Exactly. But I'm sure.
That's a terrible pun for this time of day.
Yes, but you're excused because people are actually honking their horns in the background of the whole thing. there's always going to be a rationale in terms of that. Holly, are you considered sort of cosplay for dogs as a sort of way forward?
Not anytime soon, I don't think.
Well,
good effort. Sci-Fido
could possibly be the place to go to find
and
out.
And if you haven't got a dog, that's actually not a dreadful thing, because you can still come along. In the past, we had two kids come. Their parents wouldn't let them have a dog, or they couldn't have a dog because of where they lived. So the kids dressed up as dogs, who then dressed up as superheroes.
That's amazing.
And we let them take part. And then we had a guy turn up with a cat in a Ghostbusters outfit. And we said, but that's a cat. And he said, is it? He said, it could be a dog with a superpower that makes it look like a cat.
That'd be a pretty good superpower,
And we just said, fair enough. You can't argue with that, can you, really? Shape-shifting dog.
I'm not sure whether Emma will be able to attend this Sci-Fi. We're going to try and work through that. All of this can be found by going to the Sci-Fi London website. That's Sci-Fi.
Indeed.
London.co.uk.
We're about a week away, I think, from announcing the full program.
Uh-huh.
And then tickets and booking details and all that sort of stuff should be the first week of April, I hope. The other thing I just wanted to let you know is that we've just confirmed a world's first for us, actually, with some live music at the festival as well. So some listeners may know these names, others may not. So they're two German artists, one called Harald Grosskopf, who is he's known as the Synthesist. He's one of the original sort of kraut techno artists, you know, really worked with Klaus Schulze and Ashrar Temple and all sorts of amazing bands. So we had him and a man called Eberhard Kranemann, who was one of the originators of Kraftwerk and was also in a band called Noi. And we actually suggested it as a joke to Harold last year. Why don't you team up with Eberhard? And they've done it. And they've now produced a new album, and they're coming over to play at the festival for the first time ever together. We're doing a gig on Friday the 5th with them, and there's a new album out. And they're also doing the music for the Sci-Fi London VR app. So for some of you older, more techno, you know, electronica fans out there, this is going to be a happening moment, as they say.
It will be, you know, just truly awesome. Our Facebook here is obviously not going beyond its time machine of 2015 to actually access our coverage of Sci-Fi London, which is actually there, but it's there. You know. Shall we say Sci-Fido, an awesome event in more ways than one. But we will find that out. Finally, any thoughts, Holly? Are you excited by this whole project? You know, you think it's going to work together?
Yes.
Chilled out for that.
I can easily research this, but how long is the minimum maximum of the film?
The minimum is 3 minutes minimum, five minutes maximum, and that excludes your titles and credits.
Okay.
That's the equivalent of like 10% either way.
And actually, that makes the challenge actually very hard, because what do you think? You know, it's only 5 minutes. Some we've had in the past people, you know, ending up with 6.5, you know, 8.5 minute films. And they've failed the challenge, basically, because it has to be within 5 minutes.
Mm, yeah.
And then so trying to tell the story in that short a time can also be very difficult. So good luck with it.
Thank you.
And I suggest go and look at some of... Excuse me. There we are. Thank you. I would suggest go and have a look on our website or our Vimeo channel and just have a look at what other people have done in the past, because there's some amazing films.
Yeah.
But don't rip them off, because I remember all of them.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it's fair to say that from the original discussions, the likelihood is it's going to be quite original. I mean, I think that's fair to say, Hannah, in terms of...
Yes.
And this obviously before you get the full ingredients in terms of what you need to include and the sort of elements that sort of needs to be there.
Well, we're just, you know, with us all being in different locations, it's going to be unique in that we'll be making a film across the country, collating
fantastic.
It together online, so
yeah, fantastic. No, that could work really well
hopefully.
Well, we will give it our best shot, because at the end of the day,
and if at the end of the worst thing that will happen is on Monday you'll have made a film.
There we are.
Yeah, so it'll be a fun experience, I think. Yeah, you know,
exactly. Just make sure you've got someone who can who knows where the local pizza place is, you've got lots of coffee, and also that you've got a backup for your tech. Okay, it's really important to make sure that you've got, you know, a spare drive, you know, or someone else who's got a laptop with some software on it, just in case.
Or indeed drives, given that obviously there'll be, because we need to correlate who actually sort of gets it all collected together and then
exactly.
put together. Yes, yeah.
Yep.
Never mind. That's fine. Louis, I think Holly's going to put those last two questions to you because she can. Go.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
I have, as always, and apologies for coughing.
And will you be returning soon?
I hope so.
Well, I mean, we might as well go for next week to sort of keep the anticipation going. With all
why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's a standard scenario. Yeah. We'll put William sitting to one side. And for those folk who are thinking, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, is that a weather report? No, it's Electric Light Orchestra, ELO. Happy trails, Louis.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Down the avenue, G-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A-D-A
always that temptation to do exactly as we're doing now and actually talk over the final sort of sequence of Mr. Blue Sky from ELO. But then some people might actually like to listen to the drums going off to the background with the heavenly choirs as we all celebrate another blue sky across the city of Lincoln. Or even Gunmetal Grey. One of those two. Upcoming, all being well, Kay Adams and Nadia Sawala, TV presenters extraordinaire, and Jade Dalrymple, Year 6 teacher, discussing, as I say, the whole notion of breaking the period taboo and avoiding sort of embarrassing tales and other things, and really all dealing with education in every sense of the word. To take us around to that, after a little blast of Mr. Blue Sky, a touch, perhaps a little hint, of Sheryl Crow.
Did it. This ain't no disco. It ain't no country club either. This is LA. All I wanna do is have a little fun before I die. There's a man next to me out of nowhere. It's apropos of nothing. He says his name.
To Sheryl Crow, All I Want to Do. As we mentioned in the earlier part of the production, clearly, with research showing that there's still a shame culture due to a lack of education around menstruation, 44% of women admit they don't know what was happening, or they didn't know what was happening to their body when they got their first period. We're in the 21st century. Hannah in the studio, this seems unbelievable, but to address this particular key point, we've got a terrific trio of wonderful individuals. First of all, it's always a delight to welcome back to the Siren Airwaves TV presenter extraordinaire Nadia Sawala. Good morning, Nadia.
Good morning.
And for the first time, as far as the Siren package is concerned, ace TV presenter as well, Kay Adams. Good morning, Kay.
Good morning, Alex. How are you?
Very good indeed. Delighted to speak to yourself. And keeping the educational aspect going, the head of PSHE values at the Pine School in Berkshire, the fabulous Jade Dalrymple. Good morning, Jade.
Morning.
Jade, if we can come to you first with respect to this. I mean, clearly you're very keen and committed to about this whole thing. I mean, do you find within the educational system that we still have this ignorance when it comes to what is, you know, a natural biological part for most women?
I wouldn't say ignorance, but it can still be a bit taboo. Teachers can still feel quite awkward talking about it. We need materials, which Betty for Schools has provided, that open up that conversation, make it a normal thing to talk about, you can be comfortable teaching. So I know that with some of the materials about at the moment, it's a bit too biology heavy perhaps, and difficult to have a conversation about.
In the studio we have ace co-presenter Hannah Brown. Hannah, I mean, just casting your own mind back to Harwich and so on, was it just a case of, well, you just get on with it? I mean, what does this sort of resonate with your own experiences?
We did have a class, what they called sex education, which it was basically, I would call it puberty information in year five. I remember the one lesson. And it did help because I myself got a period in year six, so I did know what was happening due to the class in year five. But that was the only thing we had until year seven when...
And Nadia, from your own perspective, is this something which, again, is a story that, I mean, you clearly, from your own routine, as a Renaissance woman, really, you know, EastEnders, TV cook, presenter, and so on. Is this something where you think, actually, yeah, somehow we can't just rely on educators, it needs to be a combination of parents and so on working on this issue?
Yeah, ideally it needs to be a combination, but I think that we also have to accept, and certainly this research shows, that a lot of people are still really struggling with that and do find it really difficult to talk about the changes that are going on in their baby girl, their little princess growing up, and a lot of people feel awkward about it. So, you know, what Betty for Schools is doing is fabulous, which is giving teachers the tools and the materials that are really relatable to children nowadays. Because actually, Jade was saying earlier that some of the stuff that she's been using to teach the kids in her class is the same stuff that they were using to teach her, and that's no good, you know. And so, yeah, I think it has to be, hopefully, a dialogue between all those people, your children, the schools, and the parents. But what we really want is really clear information, given with a real understanding, and certainly listening to Jade this morning, the Betty for Schools programme is really aiding her in that.
Kay, your thoughts on this area?
Well, ideally, of course, we want parents and teachers to be working in tandem. Well, actually, if you can have three people on a tandem with the children as well. But as Nadia says, we have to appreciate that for various reasons, whether it's sort of personal awkwardness or cultural reasons or whatever, that it's not always going to be that dream scenario. So, number one, you know, we do want to make sure that when they go to school, that all young girls are given information in a straightforward fashion, a uniform kind of fashion, if you like, so that they all know the same stuff. I mean, some research that was done before this program was put together, and it was put together, you know, with the input of teachers and young people, is that, you know, 32%, a third of women, said that they felt shame when their period started. Now, to think that it is just part of our natural biology, part of our body changes that start from the minute we are born, that a third of women would feel shameful when that happens, you know, I personally find really, really upsetting. And I don't think any of us would want our girls to be going through that. So that is a very urgent reason to be looking at this and to be providing materials that parents feel comfortable with. And I've looked through all the materials on the Betty for Schools website really thoroughly. And personally, as a parent, I find it very, very useful. Jade is telling us that from her experience as a teacher, she finds it really useful because it's relevant. And just a funny little thing is that if you're going to show kids resources and the fashions look as if they come from the last century and the sort of posters on the wall, you know, come from the last century, they're going to think, that's not me. You know, so they have to know that this is relevant to them, and then they're going to buy into it. And it's not just about fallopian tubes and uteruses and goodness knows the biology. It's about how they feel, about themselves, whether they might be slightly awkward about doing PE or going for a sleepover.
And the mood swings, of course.
The mood swings
can be very daunting at that age when your hormones suddenly take over.
Yeah, why do I want a chocolate sandwich with chips? You know, all that kind of stuff, you know. We need to give young people and their parents the information to say, okay, my body's changing, this is what's happening, this is how I can deal with it.
It's fascinating to find that research suggested 74% of UK women think we're too squeamish as a society when it comes to discussing the subject. Isn't that almost a hangover from, in terms of British culture at least, the Victorian era? It's peculiar, really. Maybe we should actually cover up table legs because they might inflame passions too much. It's just a thought that...
I think it kind of suggests that we're on a bit of a cusp, you know, that the vast majority of women think that we are too squeamish. The vast majority think, look, this is something that we need to move on. But just because you know something doesn't make it always easy to do it. So I think what Betty for Schools is doing is saying, yeah, okay, we all know that we want to be a bit more relaxed about this. So here's something that's going to help. Mm.
Jade, allowing for the fact that the Betty bus will be touring schools from next week to provide interactive sessions for boys and girls on the issue, I think that's also an important point. It's not just a single gender issue on this particular basis. Mm-hmm. You know, education actually helps in every sense of the word. I mean, are we seeing progress from your perspective as, you know, a person who's literally, I used to say at the chalk face, but these days it's at the whiteboard face or whatever in terms of...
smart board.
Yes, exactly, the smart board, quite right. So, are we seeing progress effectively?
I think we're definitely seeing progress. It is about being comfortable talking about it. The Betty for Schools materials are definitely more relevant. They definitely open up the conversation. They bring boys into the conversation as well, which is really good because, you know, we've been talking this morning about the boys they, if they don't know what's going on as well, it can be confusing for them. They're going through their own body changes, which I think girls need to understand about them. But equally, with the girls going through their changes, the boys need to know. They might have, you know, they've got girlfriends at school, they've got girls at home, you know, mums and sisters, and it's important that they understand those changes. Otherwise, we know what happens. Children gossip in the playground, we get inaccurate information, and this is how these things become squeamish and taboo, and this is how we don't move on from that. It's not through having the accurate information. Yet it's just as important for both genders to be involved.
And Nadia, best place to actually go to online to find out further details, where would you recommend?
Well, if you just put all one word, Betty for Schools, into Google, and it will pop up nicely for you.
Okay. Any final thoughts, Hannah, from yourself?
I think this is a good way forward, because what I've experienced, as they're saying, is including boys in the conversation, is, well, a lot of what I think girls understand from periods comes from personal experience, obviously, but I feel on the other side of the other gender, a lot of boys don't have any understanding of the whole process or what is happening. And I think if you can get everyone to understand what happens, and then it will become more normal and more accepted, and you won't almost have to be secretive about it, which you sometimes feel you have to.
An extraordinary sort of case of the human experience. I'm still thinking about Kay's three people on a tandem. It'll work, Kay. I know. In fact, I sense on the Nadia and Kay YouTube channel, it could be a feature that you could actually develop and work through.
Good thing, Kay.
Yeah. We're going to take you up on that.
It's a definite...
She can't even ride a bike, Alice. She can't go one herself. She's got stabilizers.
It'll work. Kay Adams, Nadia Sawala, and Jay Rimple, many thanks indeed for joining us this morning. And hopefully we'll speak again, and hopefully these things will continue to improve, and education will shed light on all sorts of issues, but yeah, as we literally break that period taboo. Many thanks, folks.
Thank you.
Thank
Ellie.
You.
Change out. go your way in every sense of the word. The programme has taken us from the joys of the Sci-Fi London Film Festival right the way through talking about potentially embarrassing biological aspects, which I think we managed to address very safely and appropriately. Yeah. And now, of course, a gentleman who people have described him as the Doctor Who collector extraordinaire, you know, the man who is very excited by the magazine, of course, we've been promoting with your own inimitable two words.
Warp, warp.
What can you say? I mean, you know, classic in every sense. That, and you will be able to actually buy and purchase copies of Warp, Warp magazine. Sorry, I've said Warp, Warp magazine.
Stealing my lines.
I know. On Sunday at the Stone Tape Symposium, the second Telefantasy and Society event, last one, of course, being back in 2015.
Oh. So before
Facebook is able to actually work our way through that process, indeed. And now we're
struggling this morning.
We're working through the whole process. And David, given that last night we had the excitement of George Mann and Robin Pearce on the programme.
Good Lord.
Yeah, exactly.
Lord, I'm surprised you could even sleep.
Well, to add to the mix, Larry Namicek and Carl Frantz, who's coordinating a 50th anniversary event for the celebration of the prisoner in Seattle, which we're following and taking through from that sort of basis. You know, we felt as though these are all warm-up acts in many ways. Warm-up acts for yourself, because you might say, well, what is called the Stone Tapes? Where's Sam? She's out teaching. That's how, you know, that's the important thing. So, you know, when Sam goes and earns a living, whilst David sort of sits there. It's all wonderful stuff. Hannah, would you like to question David on why Sunday is going to be quite literally unmissable in all senses of the word?
Yes, well, I'm very excited for Sunday, you know.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I'm very much looking forward to it. So, well, why did you decide to do the symposium, just to let people know?
Well, we've been doing the Stone Tapes for a year and a half, I think, Alex, hasn't it been?
It's now into our third year, actually. But
third year,
the idea for the Stone Tapes came up, which was a suggestion. I felt that as a producer, you know, given that I only press buttons on the Stone Tapes.
That's right, don't let Alex talk on the Stone Tapes. It's part of something of a standing joke.
Yeah.
So we've been doing the show, for 3 years. God, time flies. Having a great time, and if the listener hasn't heard of the Stone Tapes, it's a kind of like a chat show. It's a genre show. We play some music. We talk about, you know, horror films and science fiction and fantasy films and books and television. And we have guests in, and we talk about Doctor Who and Daleks and all sorts of fun stuff. And we were chatting about it after the show one month, and I think it was yourself, Alex, that said, you know, I think we ought to do a whole day on this. Mm. We ought to sort of try and pull something together. And then he drops the absolute bombshell at the end of it. And at the end of the day, we'll do a live recording of the show, which is something we've never done yet. So that we're all a little bit kind of about actually doing an actual live transmission and recording of the show. Usually it's pre-recorded. But Alex was, oh, no, you've got this down pat now. You know what you're doing. It's absolutely fine. You're all pros. It'll be great. So the idea came up that we'll do a show based around the Stone Tapes radio show. So with Alex's help, we've got a fantastic lineup of people to come and talk over the course of the day. We've got Fiona Moore and Alan Stevens, who are the most amazing researchers and educated people to talk about the genre that I could possibly imagine. I think they've been on the show lots of times, haven't they, Alex?
In fact, Alan is responsible for your good self, David J. Howe, actually coming into our sphere of influence back in the early part of the 21st century.
There you go. So they're coming to do a talk about Remembrance of the Daleks, a classic Doctor Who Dalek story. We've got the aforementioned George Mann and Robin Pearce, and indeed the lovely Sam Stone, talking about comic books and comics and writing comics, and because George is an accomplished comic writer, and so there's lots of stuff like that. We've actually covering off disability in contemporary SF, which is a fascinating subject, and Patricia Ash, who's our resident book reviewer, is going to be talking about that, and that's going to be fantastic. And then we've got the awesome Graham Harper, film director, television director, Doctor Who Inside Number 9, all sorts of stuff going on. He's talking about raising capital, about funding of science fiction film projects and stuff, which can be fascinating. And then we kind of finish off with the amazing Daphne Ashbrook, actress from Star Trek, Doctor Who, and Graham, sort of talking about life, the universe, and everything. And then after a short interlude, we've got the Stone Tapes live. So it's going to be a fantastic day, all at Lincoln University, on Sunday. It's free for students. So if any students are listening to this and you're thinking to yourself, what am I going to do on Sunday? Why don't you come along? Come along, have a good time, listen to what the guys have got to say, you know, maybe learn something, I don't know, maybe add to it if you've got experience of this yourself. Who knows? But the whole thing is it's all part of the educational stream, isn't it, Alex? And the university connection that Siren FM's got and the way in which this kind of develops and comes together.
And there'll be a chance to obviously meet and chat to various other folk. Now, it's fair to say, Hannah, and I'm speaking on behalf of other Midweek Driveouts and other students who have already registered for this, they're also very keen to get various interviews with your awesome self, David, Sam Stone, and other folk. I mean, Hannah, I think you wanted to do a project with respect to talking with George last night and sort of narratives and graphic comics and so on.
Yes, well, obviously, in my print class at the moment, we're creating a fandom-based magazine called Geek Week with an online equivalent. So this is a brilliant opportunity for me not just to explore the Doctor Who world, which I love very much, and other science fiction, but to get some great interviews, hopefully, to include in that magazine and the online equivalent, yeah.
We have duly allocated student assistants and helpers. A bit like the doctor's assistants, but without with less screaming, I hope.
I'll try my best.
Probably more running up and down corridors.
Yeah, well, we've got the corridors. We can do corridors for you if you wish. Get the refreshments from that perspective. Ryan Jones has actually got the cable to sort of test out, so we'll actually be sort of hardwiring the things so from the actual lecture theatre in the Stephen Langton building all the way to Studio 1B. Because, of course, that's the other thing David did mention. Not only will the Stone Tapes be live, it'll be in a completely different venue to where they've ever been before. So it's
exciting.
It's taking it out of Studio 1B, its normal recording home, and putting it into a completely different location. So it's,
I was actually wondering, Alex, as well. I think there's going to be, is it six people behind the mics? So hopefully we've got six mics and six pairs of headphones.
Well, I don't think you'll need to worry about the headphones, actually, because it'll just be a case of, rather like when the wonderful gentleman from Curse of Fendrick, or even Fenric, Nicholas Parsons, I know he's done other things, but you know, I didn't want to talk about Four Feather Falls, when Nicholas actually hosted Just a Minute here, the guest said you don't wear headphones, you don't have to worry about that, it's okay.
Oh, I see, because there's nothing coming down the cans, basically.
Precisely,
you can hear everything.
Yeah. So it's all sorts
okay.
of...
that'll be fine.
We, on the other hand, your producer and indeed Ryan Jones, who will be thanked at Atlas at the end together with Ed Wellman, they will be fretting about headphones and putting in the music and all the rest of the bits and pieces.
Okay.
And hopefully, for people who are literally not able to get to Lincoln, we will actually at least have the Stone Tapes volume, which will be transmitted again next Thursday, just after 7 o'clock in its normal time slot. So it's not, and then
it'll go on the podcast thing for download.
The podcast thing is kind of like second nature to it.
Yes, fantastic.
We've forgotten about the competition. Actually, we haven't. Otherwise, I wouldn't mention it now. There is going to be a competition that we're running for which I think the prize is a set of absolutely top of the range headphones worth a little under £200 or thereabouts.
Wow.
That might be. And the question, once again, that we're putting out to people, and the draw might well take place on the Stone Tapes or just before people can submit their entries and so on, or possibly on the day itself. Can you remember the question, Hannah?
Yes, I can. Mm. Was it what TV show does George Mann write comics for?
Exactly. That's
got it.
Right. Spot on. You know, which television show, you know, theme does George Mann, you heard him on the show yesterday, heard him on the Stone Tapes, you can download podcasts, you know, what sort of is the classic sort of TV show that effectively he's written sort of scripts for in comic book form? That's too tough, David. I mean, you know,
it could be a bit tricky. It could be a bit tricky. You might have to travel a bit in time to work that one out, but I'm sure some of your listeners are kind of intelligent enough to figure out.
Studio at sirenonline.co.uk with your answer and your contact details, because sometimes people send in answers
they don't give us contact detail at all, so we can't get the ticket or anything else to them. But actually, it's fairly straightforward as far as we turn up. You know, we can go. The prize actually will be some autographed sort of collection of some good
brilliant.
Stuff that's actually there.
Brilliant.
So, you know, we'll have, as well as that. Well, if we've already given the prize, a set of headphones. We might have some other things to throw in as
set
well.
Of headphones,
Lord
yeah.
above.
You know, there you go. Yeah.
Top of the range headphones.
But yeah, I think there's going to be. Is the guys behind Vought coming along on Sunday? Has that been decided
even
yet?
Even David's stealing your lines now, it would seem, Hannah. You know, I mean, sorry, the magazine is.
Warp.
There we are. Sorry, she's
getting better at
she's
it.
She's copywriting the whole
warp,
thing.
Warp.
I think Azra, we're not sure whether Gareth Kavanagh is actually going to be physically present. We can say that we've got folk coming over from Blackpool and the Star Trek exhibition who are very keen to look forward. Paul Hill, who's also an independent filmmaker.
Okay.
And we may have some folk from Sci-Fi Scarborough attending as well. We've got, obviously got Darren Scales. We've got wonderful models. A whole range of models from Battlestar Galactica onwards will also be sort of filling up there. And one trusts that Telos Publications will have goodies to be purchased
as
well.
Oh, yes, we will have, because we actually received copies today, we'll have copies of Sam Stone's brand new collection. So, Cthulhu and Other Monsters.
It just gets even more awesome.
Better and better.
As H.P. Yeah. Lovecraft might have once said.
Or Fanar Cthulhu for Tanagnik or something.
Yes, sometimes I just, even as a producer, I wonder that David's just hit he takes us into a different dimension, really. Maybe
I do. We want to be careful, though, Alex, because otherwise we might summon up the great Elder Gods, and we wouldn't want that to happen on Siren FM.
I don't think so.
Might spoil the fun for Sunday.
Absolutely. We wouldn't want them to do that. So.
Our final reminder, then, this event's taking place at the Lincoln... Stephen Langton Building, University of Lincoln, yes. Formerly known as MTech. If you want to turn up on there, that's fine. If you can register beforehand, that would be useful, because obviously we get your names on badges and various other bits and pieces, and it's going to be an unmissable, frankly awesome day. So celebrate and rejoice. And of course, coming as it does literally the day after the 3-day celebration of Indie Film and Indie Links Film Festival, it just fits in perfectly. Hannah, would you like to put those last two questions to David J. Howe, please?
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
I always enjoy my telephonic links with you guys, Hannah, and thank you very much.
It's the first time he's ever done a morning one, of course. Because
it is. This is the first time I've actually been awake this early. So it's astonishing.
Is Lilu okay? You know, just so as
she's fine, yeah. She's running around wondering what the hell I'm doing, so it's all good. Lilu's the cat, by the way. just in case anyone was wondering.
Well, given some of the sort of features we've had in the programme so far, you know, baby elephants and Ian Lennox's dancing, Irish dancing pants. It's all right. We've just faded your microphone down for a moment there, David.
Okay.
Don't worry. David, hopefully, if he lives to see the tale, will actually be with us on Sunday. So he's all good for that.
Stay well.
Yeah, it's always great.
Thank you, I will.
Well, he was down for the first Telefantasy and Society Symposium. Then he went and had a coronary heart attack, you know. I'm sorry. These kind of things. You know, so
I'll try not to do the same this time.
Yeah, I would hope so. You know, it would be very bad form, sir.
It would be very bad form. Could be forgiven twice, and you start to get suspicious.
Yeah, exactly. We'd work with that. David Rotroy, you can meet him in person, obviously, on Sunday. Thanks earlier to Gabriella Peralta, to Richard Fitzwilliams, Ian Lennox, and of course Louis Savvy from Sci-Fi London, Kay Adams and Nadia Sawala, Ace TV presenters, Jade Dalrymple, a Year 6 teacher, and David J. Howe, and of course Holly McGrattan, who had to leave us to do various other bits and pieces. That's it, Hannah. We've wrapped up a whole sequence today. Quick reminder that 7 o'clock this evening, Sound and Nick's Vision gets its airing. Again, I think that's something like volume 27 actually is released to the airwaves, as far as that's concerned, with Nick Elliott, Sue Royce, and I occasionally have a cameo role that sort of comes in there. So it's all worthwhile stuff. We go up to the news with Mantronics, featuring Wondrous, Got to Have Your Love, Got to Have Your Stone Tapes. Can we all say, well, I think we'll keep that line that we started last night, Hannah, you know, from The Prisoner. It's a series. I mean, David may be able to actually, without being prompted, join us in those three words that effectively sort of, you know, sum up that whole sexy. Hannah's little task, actually, she's got the whole box set now. She's going to watch Arrival for next week, because she's going to be working through The Prisoner TV
what a
series.
Treat.
Yeah,
what a treat.
So. Yeah, exactly. So, a 1, 2, 3.
Be seeing you.